are present is in the book of Acts, and and we're looking really at the beginning of the history of the church. So I'm looking at Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Well, I think it doesn't need much imagination to understand why they were so fearful and nervous. The general title for a book is The Wonderful Works of God, and that's what we long for today, The Wonderful Works of God. Remarkable that sinners become brave and the weak become powerful. A multitude believed and turned to Christ. And yet, this is a lovely thing. It talks of 5,000, 3,000, and then one. Don't you think that's amazing? And sent him rejoicing on his way. Who was he? The Ethiopian eunuch. That is an amazing thing. From larger numbers, just as important, that one. And he sends Philip there. Well, the account, he's an enemy that becomes a friend. It's a startling account. Saul became Apostle Paul. The disciples were afraid of him, and they had every reason to be afraid of him. And Stephen, that he consented to Stephen's death. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and he had letters, anyway, to him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, they were men or women, sorry, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Sorry. Now that's just the man we have here. Becomes a very different man. We see a hand of God upon him. He is transformed from being a vicious, violent, cruel man to being a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, the bottle of a soul, opposite directions, how can such a man be changed? Well, the intervention of God. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, this is Saul, rather. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is a tremendous challenge. Why are you doing this? A seen and felt and known presence of God was there. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You're wounding yourself. You're wounding yourself, Saul. He's hurting himself, yet he's going on doing it. He is wounded in a way. And trembling and astonished, said, where wilt thou have me? What wilt thou have me do? Now, have you ever thought of that yourself? What do you want me to do, Lord? What can I do with my life for thee? And he, trembling and astonished, said to the Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Meanwhile he's blind for 3 days. What he has for him to do. Notice, it's not what I would like to do. It's what the Lord wants him to do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, having heard a voice, but seeing no man. This is a strange thing that is happening. Already there's a change, and Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, and they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. What a different picture. A tyrant, cruel, merciless, now meek, submissive, quiet. I've been led by the hand because of his blindness. 1 minute like that, and the other minute like that. What God can do with you and me. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. This is a terrible conflict. For opposing God, God stops him in no uncertain way. Now the command, God touches another man, and they live together. And he says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, to whom said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Now he's told something of a very remarkable story. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah of one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. That's a lovely phrase. Do you pray? For behold, he prayeth. That's an amazing thing. Most people don't pray. Some do. That's right, isn't it? If we can put anything off, we put prayer off. No time. Later on, maybe tomorrow, to pray. Behold, this tyrant is on his knees and he's praying. Go to him. Go on. Behold, he prayeth. And seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. God had prepared him all the while he's dealing with him, even when he was persecuting. Even then, I think the hand of God was there. It came down heavily on the way of Damascus. And here is a man who's saying, What do you want me to do? What can I do, Lord? He recognizes Jesus as Lord immediately. Ananias is troubled. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. It's quite clear he's a horrible man, a very dangerous man. So, and the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel, that's lovely. Don't argue with me. He is a chosen vessel. And sometimes it can be when we would dismiss somebody and God would say, now, that person is a chosen vessel. And so he tells Ananias that. Putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm told to do, and to bring your sight to you, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're a chosen vessel. You wouldn't think, would you, in that awful, messy, cruel life, here is what that God said, he will be a chosen vessel. I've chosen him in eternity. He will serve me. That's what he has. He received his sight, was baptized, and he was strengthened. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Imagine, what did he do first of all? He goes to a synagogue. What does he say to the Jews? He says, Christ is the Son of God. And they were looking and show open mouth and wide-eyed. What? Christ is the Son of God. Who are you? Once Saul of Tarsus, now Paul. He is the Son of God. But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, preaching that this is the very Christ. They plan to kill him. He escapes, however. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to his disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. He tried to join the group. They didn't want him. And you could understand, he's a terrible man, a cruel man. What is he playing at? We don't trust him. We can't trust him. Trust is a very wonderful thing. When we trust our church, trust our minister, trust each other, that's how it should be. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now it's a great honor here now. He's brought before the apostles, and he's introduced to them, and he preaches boldly in the name of Jesus. Then had the church rest throughout all Judea. Notice how wonderful. There had been terrible persecution. It stops. It takes its breath for a while. No persecution. Well, the chief one leading the persecution was Paul. Then had the church rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. God's finger turned the persecutor. God's hand made him a vessel. The name of his Son is honored. Honor his name. What do we learn from that? Is it a question in your heart now? Lord, what would you have me to do? Are you a Christian? Are you grateful? Are you willing? Are you ready? Are you ready? How much will you give him? How much time? How much love? Listen to these words. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace I fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. It's a lovely phrase. Do you remember the hour you first believed? I do. Do you really? I was on my own in a chapel house. I think I told you, I'm not sure. I was met at the bus stop in Pont Erwyd by an elderly lady and her daughter. I was staying in the chapel house. So they put a supper, which is usually a piece of cheese, on the table. And I said to the old lady, "Do you remember the revival?" "Oh, yes," she said. "Oh, it was wonderful here." And then she added, "But I didn't see anything in it." I looked at her, and I think that gave me such a jolt that a woman who'd been in the revival could say, "I couldn't see anything in it." And it frightened me so much, I asked myself, "What about you?" And I was in that room, and I knelt. I felt the presence of God. And I can remember saying, "Oh, how wonderful thou art, Lord." And he found me, and I found him. Not to turn back, never turn back, never turn back, but to go on with him. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace of fear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Oh, yeah. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Lovely. A life of joy and peace. When I've been there 1,000 years, bright shining as the sun, I've no less days to sing God's praise than when I first began. When I was a minister, there was a lady in the church, her name was Mrs. Scott, and she was quite, she was quite a character. And it was before charismatics and that kind of thing, so you didn't expect anything to happen. And every time you said the word of God, up goes her arm with the Bible, "Blessed be his name." Everybody looked at her, but I was quite used to it. And I said, "Thank you, Mr. Scott. I agree with you." And I wondered how many of them there in their hearts could say, "Yes, indeed, blessed be his name in our hearts." When we've been there 1,000 years. Oh, she often would add as well, 1,000, she said, 10,000, 100,000. She'd really go to town sometimes. Bright shining as the sun, I've no less days to sing God's praise than when I first began. As a little boy, I've never been very keen on singing. You may be surprised. I'm musical in a way. But I said to my mother once, "Would that not be doing as well as him? They'd be singing in heaven and all the children are there." I thought, "Mum, I don't want to sing all the time. I will want to do some other things as well." And she said to me, "I think the singing is special. You like it." And I do. I do. I love it. The song of Zion. Well, I hope that's a little help. What does God want you to do? Whatever it is, do it. Do it. Love him. Serve him. Delight in him. And be in glory to his name. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll sing hymn 536, 536. Chosen of God ere time began. Shall we stand?